Hey, it's Mike with the Daily BM. On this episode of Flick Friday, we start to talk about the movie Upgrade. But then, of course, we deviate and start talking about books and all sorts of other topics. It's a great listen. I think there's a couple words of wisdom in there, mostly from Brad, but, you know, it is what it is. Enjoy this episode. Remember, like and subscribe. And 5-star reviews is what we're looking for. I don't think we got any yet, which means we're probably sucking, but it's okay. It's okay, guys. We know you love us at heart. Have a good one. And remember, Brad's always farting in the background. Hey, good morning, fuckers, and welcome to the real Friday. That's right, we're talking movies today, and I have the most awesome partner in crime, Mikey, in the house, and who's not eating food for the first time on a Friday.
Oh, man. Hold on, let me grab some food. Let me grab some food real quick.
All right, get me something too, man.
I'm sorry. I won't grab food right now. I'm going to try not to annoy Eddie and the other listeners that don't like hearing me chew.
Hey, how far can your drone fly before it loses communication?
I think like 2 miles.
Oh, lame. Fucking A, man. What? Come on.
I doubt it'll get that far, but.
As I say, because I'm only what, maybe 7-8 miles away?
Oh, try to fly you something? Yeah, that's highly illegal.
Can you imagine you fly, drop a bag of chips at my door, fly back to your house? Yeah. I'll be like, what are you talking about, man?
So at the beginning of the show, you guys today will not understand what happened. So you'll have to listen Monday to understand the joke at the beginning of this episode. So listen Monday and you'll totally understand the joke from the beginning of this episode.
Correct.
Anyways, before we go on a wild tangent.
let's talk about this Tuesday show.
But yeah, let's talk about what we came to talk about, and that's movies. I've got two movies on the docket. The first one is Upgrade. It's actually an older movie from 2018. So yeah, it's 6 years old. I'm just now getting around to see it because it popped up on my Netflix recommendations, and I know you've seen it, and I actually really liked the movie. I really liked it a lot.
I'm telling you, man, it was a sleeper movie for me, man. I was the same way. I was like, you know what, man? I'm so tired of seeing because let's be honest, most Netflix shit and Prime stuff that's out there right now kind of sucks. You know what I mean? Some of it.
I mean, there's
I don't know about you. Do you have to flip through that shit? Do you have to flip through that shit? Like to find something?
I do, but I think that's less them and more me. I think it's a problem here. Okay, so we'll stop segue for 2 seconds.
Okay, here we go. Off to the right. Go.
Back in the day, we would sit down and we'd have maybe like 20 channels to watch. Mm-hmm. So you ended up having to pick something because you're just like, I'm done. You know, now the choices are endless, virtually endless. And it's like you have to ask yourselves, like, what do I feel like? What am I looking for? You know, like, how do I want to end this day? And the problem is you've already exhausted your decision-making ability throughout the day because you only have a limited number of decisions that you can make effectively throughout a day.
Right.
Before your brain just says, hey, I'm done. Like, it's nap time. So by the time you get to the movies at night, it's like, I got nothing left. So I will sit there and literally I've done this numerous times, spend 30 minutes scrolling through.
Oh God, it's so brutal, isn't it?
Trying to find something that's going to fit my need to watch. And I just go, fucking, I'm going to bed. Because I only had like 30 minutes before I lights out anyways. So it's like I've exhausted the time. It's like, oh, shit. So that's why I really like when I find like a series. And we could talk about that too. That falls in the movies. Like lately I've been watching the Alone series on History Channel.
Oh, I love those things, man.
I like them because they're episodes and they last about an hour. So you can watch. I mean, you got to be careful not to get caught in the binge cycle. So my wife hates it because I'm like, all right, one episode and we're done. And then I turn the TV off. She's like, oh, come on. We got to see if he gets eaten by the cougar. I'm like, I'm guarantee you he's not getting eaten by the cougar.
They're not going to put that on TV, dude.
It's not showing up on the History Channel, you know, not at least until the whole family's dead so nobody can sue. You know?
Can't believe he ate his fucking arm off, man. Yeah, hell yeah. Shit, dude.
Like, and we showed up the next day and Billy was dead. You know, like the end.
So anyway, let's talk about that show because I do want to talk about Alone because I think it's a great show. But let's talk about The Upgrade first and get that out of the way and come back to that.
Yeah, so I stumbled across Upgrade because it was just kind of – I think you actually said it was pretty good to check it out. So I was like, yeah, fuck it. I'll watch it. And I watched it, and I really, really enjoyed it. I really – and it's funny because it's like 6 years old. So it was before all this AI stuff really started taking off.
I know. Hey, so, by the way, spoiler alert, guys. So we're going to talk about this. So if you haven't seen it, stay on the episode for a little bit longer. We'll ruin your fucking day. If not, just probably go ahead about by 5 minutes right now. Go 5 minutes ahead, and we should be done talking about it. Go.
Yeah. So I just liked it because it had the premise that, you know, AI being incorporated, and it works into the, you know, the plot is basically there's a gentleman and his wife, and they get in an accident with an autonomous vehicle, and it's basically a robbery where people hijack the car and cause the car to crash. And they shoot the wife, kill her, and they disable him. He's now a quadriplegic. And through some high-tech secret technology, much like what Elon Musk is working on right now with his Neuralink system, this man is able to regain the ability to use his arms and his legs. Now, the caveat is it's basically a computer, AI, that's been integrated into his brainstem. So his brain sends the message to the computer AI. It processes it and then sends it to its other node that sends it out to all the muscles. And the computer basically talks to the guy. And he can talk to the computer and nobody else can hear. And nobody else can hear the computer talking. I mean, people can hear him because he's talking out loud. But the computer can take over his limbs and do things that the guy cannot do because he doesn't know it. Like martial arts and a whole bunch of other crazy shit. It's got faster perception times and things and all sorts of stuff because it can see whatever he sees. It can feel whatever he feels. It's totally interactive. And I'm not going to go – I don't want to spoil it for people. I like people to watch it. But it is a very good twist on AI.
Oh, yeah.
It starts off as a revenge movie, but there's a twist. And the twist is worth it. I would watch it for just the twist because I was like, ooh, that's clever. That's a clever twist. So
I honestly thought it was great writing because we have had such poor writing as of late over the last year or so, in my opinion. That's just straightly an opinion of the things that I watch.
I want to cut you off real quick. I don't think it's poor writing. I think it's the movie producers and the movie studios not having the balls to back unique scripts. They are looking for surefire 100% wins. Which is sequels and, you know, remakes right now. That seems to be the two things that draw the highest revenue is sequels and remakes. Points. So I don't think it's a lack of quality writers out there writing. I think because if you read books, there's a lot of great stories out there and great content.
Yeah, but are the books guys really the ones that write the movie scripts?
That's they're the inspiration. I mean, look at Game of Thrones. It came from books. You know, look at the Wheel of Time. That's a game. That's a book. Upgrade is probably I'd probably say a book. Maybe let me Google.
Yeah, but I guess while you're Googling that, what I'm trying to say is a lot easier to take a good book, a great book, and then write a script to it. But you still have to execute it on screen, and that's what I'm getting at. I'm like, some of those scripts, the way they write it, even though the book was so good, they don't. I mean, let me back up. Most movies that are written from books don't turn out to be that well. The book is usually better anyway because of the writing ability and things of that nature and the way they can lay it out in a book a lot more in detail.
Yeah, of course. Descriptive. Yeah, of course, because there's two things that go into advantage. Number one, the creativity all happens in your mind with a book because you get to imagine what the characters look like. Even if there's descriptors, your mind still tweaks them for your personal preferences. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
So in the book, you have thousands of hours to like build characters, build stories, build plot lines. And that's not even going over, you know, multiple series. I mean, because what I mean by thousands of hours is like in a book, you can go over a month's worth of time in a chapter, you know, and you can detail out 30 days in a book, in a chapter. In a movie, you can't do that. It has to be time lapse because you've only got like a 2 to 3 hour window to tell everything. So you don't get the plot development. You don't get the, you know, you don't get a lot of the elements from the books. So the books are always, in most cases, always going to be better. I mean, I'm sure there's some exceptions. One exception that comes to mind, I really like in like, and this is going to be kind of like gay sounding, but I know I can't say that, but the movie Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2, the sequence at the end of that movie where it shows the battle scene was not in the book.
Okay.
In the book, it just says that the two people that could see the future foresaw what would happen, and they both realized that it was a no-win scenario, that it would decimate both sides of the camp, and they just realized it was better. In the movie, they played that shit out, and I went to go see it in the theater, and you could literally hear everybody in the theater gasping as their favorite characters' heads are getting ripped off, and they're dying. And you're like, holy shit, did they actually just change the ending of this movie? And then you realize it was just a sequence of possibilities. But that was a really cool switch, you know, in my opinion. Like, it was a really cool way to bring the story to life, which I think was really a lot more vivid than what was put together in the book. Because in the book, it didn't describe the battle scene, you know, like it didn't go down that path. It was just like, you know, they both were able to see, like, because both they had two people on their each team that could foresee the moves of the others. And then they all communicate telepathically, so they could, the one person that can see what's happening can really quickly go, hey, watch out, you're going to get attacked by this, this, and this. And then that gave them a superiority. So it was pretty, you know, that was a cool difference. So I think that's part of the advantage of having a book is you can really draw out your characters, and you can do a lot more with words than you can do with visuals. It's getting better because of CGI now. So, I mean, you have a lot more ability to do things.
Especially fight scenes and things like that from a distance on a zoom out type scale, you know, where you can't really tell that's not the actor or that because it's gotten so scary good, you know?
Yeah. Or like Lord of the Rings. I mean, not Lord of the Rings, but House of Dragons, the dragon fighting sequences, you know, are freaking awesome. You know, seeing the dragons is amazing. And then, you know, the realism, like you really feel like they're characters now, as opposed to like, you know, add-ons like animatronics, you know, like sometimes in the past you could tell.
Like it was something from Chuck E. Cheese, you know what I mean? Like an animatronic where it's like, you know damn well that wasn't real. Where, you know, with CGI, it feels real.
Yeah. And the actors have gotten so much better of acting with, you know, with the CGI, that is so much more
believable.
It's so much better. Like, it's sometimes hard to believe like that those aren't real. Like they're not real, like physically in the room with the actors, like as you know.
Yeah. They're not on a set. Yeah, exactly. Like they're not on set. It's like they're in a real environment. It feels very real.
Yeah. And So I think that's the disadvantage of books, but I mean, there's so much good content out there. So many good books that you could build movies off of. I just think that the studios are scared to pull the trigger because, you know, the thing is, you have to make so much money for a movie to be profitable. Even if it's a great movie, but it doesn't generate enough revenue, it doesn't get a sequel.
Yeah. Cause it would be considered a failure in their eyes because it's all revenue driven, obviously. It's the world we live in. But, you know, and then it brings back, you know, something that you said months ago when you were talking about you really were getting into foreign, you know, directors and foreign writers and things like that and foreign driven shows and movies. And
I like a lot of the Korean stuff. Mostly because they're not trying to push an agenda as hard.
Right.
Like I feel now it's like a lot of the stuff that's coming out of, you know, Hollywood is just agenda driven and is trying to cram ideologies down my throat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even if I agree or disagree with them. I just feel like it's too polarized. Like I'm going to the movies to escape reality, not have it slapped in my face continuously, you know, like, or it's to like go watch history, you know, like if I'm watching a war movie, it's to watch like heroic acts, you know, and things of that nature. And now it's gotten to the point where everything is so politicized and trying to push an agenda that I don't like it as much.
Well, it's kind of like what, you know, it goes all the way back from even the movie like The Patriot, how inaccurate a lot of it was historically speaking. And some people were considering that to be historical,
No, and I'm like, there's three different guys that one.
Yeah, and I'm going, it didn't even happen that way. Like they were claiming it. This was all pure Hollywood. It wasn't there were some things in Braveheart that weren't even factual. You know what I mean? When you go and you do the research
There's a lot of stuff in Braveheart that wasn't factual. I mean, it's not. That's the thing. It's a fictional movie. But the problem is that people start watching this stuff and they think that's how it is, you know?
Correct. They get in their mind of, wow, he was part of the Revolutionary War, the way he did this and all that. You know, it was like they accused the English of shooting, killing civilians and everything. But the reality was war is war, number one. It's not – there's no fucking rules. I don't give a shit what anyone says. If you think you can bend the rules and break some of the rules, you're gonna to try to win.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it. The victor writes the freaking history. You know what I mean?
Right.
So if and I hate to say it like this, but if like Germany had won World War II, they would have shown America to be the freaking bad people underneath the Nazi regime. You know what I mean? Because they would have been writing history from that point forward.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, okay, well, it didn't really happen that way. Because I know my ex-father-in-law, he was the same way because he's English. And he was like, man, no, they were the ones shooting officers, the English or the American colonists, because they were hard to fight because they were militiamen. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I mean,
they didn't stand in lines and really try to shoot. They were fucking doing fucked up shit to try to win. They wanted liberty. They wanted to have freedom away from the English king. So
yeah. And what's funny is that people don't really get history. They don't get to understand history. You see so many people today that they're like, oh, the Democrats are great. Democrats are great. I'm not knocking Democrats in any sense, but it was the Democratic Party that was for slavery. They were against civil rights. They were against all of that. That's the reason they formed, because Thomas Jefferson's, party started being called the Republicans, and the Democrats rose up against Thomas Jefferson, and they were trying to get black civil rights. I mean, that was what led up to the Civil War.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, that's what I understand. It kills me.
Yeah, and it's like the narrative got changed somewhere along the way, to villainize people because of movies and things of that nature, like pop culture, and what's scary today is kids watch stuff on YouTube that's just coming from somebody that doesn't even have a degree, maybe may or may not have a degree or any type of backing or any type of information, and they believe them because they're seeing it on YouTube and the guy might have a lot of following or whatever, and they take it as fact. And I'm constantly going, hey, did you fact check that? Are you sure that's right? Or just not his opinion and speculation? And that's the scary thing. That's what we're getting into. It's like, we're segueing off against movies.
Again, I know, but my thing is, I'll just say this and then I want to jump into a loan real quick before we get out of here.
Yeah.
But my thing is, it's like one thing of being around you I've noticed is that you better have your fact checks in place. And if you don't, you'd better own it that I didn't fact check that. Because I know how you think as an individual. And I think if more people thought that way around everybody, hey, I haven't fact checked this, but this is what I've seen, but I need to fact check it. I've done that actually in one of my one of my calls with the IC. I'm like, hey, I saw this, but I haven't fact checked it. So I don't know how much of this is accurate. So maybe we could, maybe we could all fact check this to make sure this is accurate.
I'm not doing it to be right. I'm doing it in the name.
You want to be factual
of being factual. It's like it has nothing to do with being right or wrong. Because I'll be the first person to admit when I'm wrong, and because I want to know when I'm wrong. Like if I get bad information, I want it fixed.
Well, you're wrong. Just kidding.
Okay, then tell me why and show me the facts.
I just think you're wrong.
Which is fine too.
Absolutely right.
People are entitled to their own opinions. That's what makes this country great, is everybody is entitled to their opinions and their freedoms, to practice what they want to practice and do what they want to do, as long as it's not infringing on other people's
rights.
If what you want to do is not hurting someone else, then it's fine. In my opinion, you should be able to have that. You should have that liberty to be able to do it. And then as a society, we need to come together in the middle and say, okay, this is the middle road. This is acceptable by law for everybody. This is on the out fringe. This is the out fringe. Cause there's things that are wishy-washy and there's things we'll never agree on, I mean, the bottom line, there's things that people will never agree on. It's about finding a happy compromise that feels like a win-win for both parties.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really challenging because I feel like it's at what point, you know, do you break down and create separate societies based on your beliefs? Because, you know, I feel like we're heading right now. I feel like we're heading to a point where it's like everybody that feels this way is going to go to this side of the country and everybody that feels this way is going to go to this side of the country. And that's going to be the end of it.
Well, we've said this on, you know, what we'll do is we'll hold that other show alone for another topic. Cause I do want to talk about like the hunting and all that other kind of stuff. So I think that's going to take longer than 3 or 4 minutes to talk about. But I will say, I completely agree with you on this aspect. I really feel like the way you destroy a country is from within, and whoever is guiding this, whether it be the deep state, as people like to say, outside international influences, they're doing a damn good job of it so far. Mm-hmm. Because you really see the deterioration of America from within.
Oh yeah.
All you got to do is look around, guys, and take the blinders off, because it's happening right in front of our eyes. And I don't like making things political by all means, but wake the fuck up. You got to see it. It's happening right now. Whether you're a Democrat, Republican, whatever your belief is, you have to understand that they're definitely trying to divide everybody.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with politics. This has to do with being like humans and living together, like finding common ground and working to build a better society for future generations. It has nothing to do with, you know, left, right, whatever. It's we need to vote for people based on their character, their morality, and the platform that they stand on and what they're going to do for the country. And it needs to be a unified approach, because the problem is right now is that every 4 years, it seems like we reset and we work in opposite directions. And instead of moving forward, we're just keep building things up and tearing them down. And a lot of money gets wasted in the middle, like a lot of money, a lot of taxpayer dollars, you know, and it's like the last administration tries to strip what the previous administration did, as opposed to having a future vision for the country that we can all agree on. Like say, hey, this is where we want to be in 30 years. Can we all agree on this? Yes, we can. Okay. Everybody's platform needs to be some derivative of this. Like there is parts that might be near and dear to everybody's hearts, but I think that's where, not going political, but that I think that's where Roe versus Wade was a mistake by passing in the first place, because I think it needs to be on the state level.
I've always thought that.
I really do. And the reason I say that is because it's the closest to the individuals. Like the further you move up, the bigger the ideas have to be. Does that make sense? So if you're in, I don't know, Oklahoma, and you don't want abortion as a mass majority of Oklahomians, you should be able to vote that in. And then if you're New York and you think abortion should be okay, vote it in. And then if you're in Oklahoma and you think like you're in New York, move to New York.
I can't disagree with you, because it's like, listen, the states were formed to govern themselves. Right. The federal government was only there to protect us as a country. And what they've done over the last century is slowly but surely stripped more rights away from the states and made it federal, which was totally not what it was intended to be.
Yeah.
From the formation of the federal government and the states having their own power to dictate what they do amongst their citizens in their state. I agree with you there. I think this is a good time to like kind of take an exit. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. Now, there's another movie I wanted to mention real quick. Guys, check it out over the weekend. It's new on Netflix. It's called Find Me Falling. It's a great romantic comedy if you're looking for something to watch with your significant other, or if you're just lonely and want to watch something that makes you feel even worse.
Make you cry and go, I suck at life. Yeah. If you're alone, sorry. Just pull out the Jergens and watch something else. I don't know.
Yeah.
That being said, guys, great one, Mike. With that being said, head over to thedailyvm.com where you can follow us on all our socials. Even if you're alone, you can still look at it. And then also, don't forget to head over to masondangerbeardco.com where you can get 20% off just simply by using the promo code DAILYBM. Hopefully, if you start smelling good, looking good, your beard's looking good, you won't be alone. You'll be able to watch us with, you know, whatever partner you have. Mike, you got anything you want to say before we get out of here?
Hey, everybody, have a great conclusion to your week. Remember, stay tuned for Monday's episode. It's a running riot.
And with that, guys, we'll catch you on the flip side.
Have a good one.
Deuces.